Yesterday we had 1,000 people go to Balboa Park and clean up. Amen. Let's give those people a hand. And they worked in about 4 different areas, so they all got 4 different kinds of do something shirts, different colors, and they all worked in groups. And the city was absolutely blown away. They said, look, you guys did stuff that we couldn't do because of the budget, and you did stuff that we wouldn't do if we had the money because it's just too much to do. And so they were incredibly blessed. They're going to go back. The guy who supervises the parks and the landscape for the parks is going to go back to the other departments in the city and say, when the Rock Church calls you, you need to, not in a demanding way, but they're going to do what they say. And so it was a very good witness of what y'all did. It was incredible. We were there from 7:30 in the morning until about 12 with the barbecue and everything. It was just a bomb. So we want to thank all those people for what they did. It was incredible. It was a great witness to the Lord and now to the city, because it was all obviously free to them. Because they got budget cuts, they can't do it, and they beautified this part of the park. Some were walking around a mile or two away from the location we were into the city, picking up trash, and then they came back and met. It was just an incredible witness of love for our city. So thank you. Let's give those people a big hand. So, very good. And we're going to keep doing more stuff like that. Hopefully more of y'all get involved. That was it. So let's see your Bibles tonight. Excuse me? Because I didn't do it? Nah, all day it's been kind of weak, so I was expecting kind of a week. I'm going to do it again, but as soon as I wasn't feeling right. I wasn't feeling it. Okay, you ready? 1, 2, 3. Word! That's what I'm talking about. Is he a pen? Lesson plan. Okay, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. Lord, thank you so much that Matthew is very easy to find. First book in the New Testament. And we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you have a great plan for our life. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us fathers. We thank you that you are our Father. And we pray we can be very, very obedient to you. This year is almost half over. 9 more days and we'll be halfway through 2009. I pray that the second half we could be more obedient than the first half. And we just thank you for your patience in our life. Thank you for blessing us as much as you do. And we pray that we can be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a little boy who was walking through the park, and he had a little bubble wand that he stuck in his little soap bottle. And he blew the bubbles out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. And he was just in the park blowing bubbles out, and he noticed every time he blew bubbles out, bigger bubbles came back to him. Different colors, purple, blue, blah, 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 blah. And they would follow him and pop on him. And when they popped on him, different things would happen to him. He would get different desires, godly desires. He would get wisdom. He would understand about his life. He would get a desire to read the Bible, a desire to pray. He would get answers to questions he had. So the more these bubbles affected him, the more he blew the bubbles out. So he started taking his little bubble bottle to school, and he would blow it at school, in the playground, in the classroom, at gym, on vacation. When he went to the mall with his mom, he blew the bubbles. No matter where he was, bubbles would come. Even if he was inside a building, they would come out of nowhere and pop on him and start affecting him in all these ways. And he started getting to the point where he couldn't live without him. When you pray to God, you are sending up your prayers to God. God wants to send prayers back to you, or answers back to you. Different kind of bubbles. and not only information, but other things. And often we send prayers up to God, but we don't wait for his answer. So for the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at prayer. And hopefully it will encourage you to pray. And obviously the title of the sermon is called Bubbles. And I want you to be thinking about your prayers going up, but more importantly, his prayers, his answer, and his response coming back to you. But we're going to learn today, specifically, that it's more than just information that comes down. It's more than information. Information is not even a majority of what happens. It's so much more than that. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6. We'll look at big picture, what we're going to look at for the next few weeks, next couple of weeks, couple of months, I should say. Chapter 6, verse 5, it says, when you pray, everybody say, when you pray. This is not about an issue if you pray. It's about when you pray. Everybody prays at some point. Anytime you said, oh, my God, what's going on? You're praying. Okay? You're calling out to God. When you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites. And by the way, has anyone ever been called a hypocrite? Okay, raise your hand if you've been called a hypocrite. Okay, if you're a Christian in this day and age, you've been called a hypocrite, and the world looks at Christians as hypocrites. Now, let me explain to you what a hypocrite is, because a lot of people, when they call you a hypocrite, you might want to clarify to them what a hypocrite is. Okay, because a lot of people don't know. When you get called a hypocrite by someone who's not a Christian, a lot of times what they're saying is that you are supposed to do this, and you said you would do this, but you're not doing this, so you're a hypocrite. That is not a hypocrite. A hypocrite is not someone who says one thing and does another. Because sometimes we really want to do the right thing, people, and you just can't, but you really want to. This is a person who didn't do what they said, or they couldn't do what they wanted to do. It's not necessarily a hypocrite. A hypocrite is a person who believes that they should do something and constantly says, I am not going to do that. I'm going to do contrary to what I believe. It's a different thing. Now, some of y'all may be hypocrites. Some of us may be hypocrites. How many of y'all believe you should pray? And how many of y'all don't pray as much as you should? Okay, that's different. There you go. Okay. But just know the people calling you the hypocrite, they probably got hypocrisy in their life too. Okay, but the point is that a hypocrite is someone who believes something and yet does the opposite. Okay? So look what it says. In verse 6, it says, when you pray, verse 5. When you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. This does not mean you shouldn't pray when you're on the street. It doesn't mean you shouldn't pray in public. It just means you shouldn't pray just so people see you and give you credit. You should pray all the time, everywhere, but the secret place is here. When you're talking to somebody, anytime you have a conversation, you should be praying. Ladies, all the ladies in the house, raise your hand. Very good. I ain't saying nothing about screaming up in the house. But all you ladies, if some guy's trying to get your number, you should be praying. Lord. Mm-hmm. As I say, check for fleas. Is he a dog? Has he got horns up there? You know, just kind of on the slide, just see if his little horns. You should be praying, Lord, is this a guy, is he trustworthy? Fellas, say what's up. When Miss Thang, she-devil, walks up to you, slow your roll and pray. God, is this trouble? Just put your... and by the way, if your prayer life and discernment ain't good, all you have to do is get another girl, a female, and she don't even have to pray, because girls know girls. They zit, no good. Anyway, this is the secret place. Okay, verse 7. When you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not say to God, or think that if you say to God the same thing over and over again a lot of times, that you're going to get credit. Imagine if you, Father's Day, you went to your dad and say, hello, Father, happy Father's Day, hello, Father, happy Father's Day, hello, Father, happy Father's Day, hello, Father, happy Father, happy, 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 happy Father's Day. He'd be like, okay. God doesn't, that's repeating. God wants you to talk to him. God is the model person. We are persons because we have personality, we have ability to have a relationship, love, forgive, communicate. We are made in the image of God. He is a person, not a human, he's a person. Our personality was made in the image of him and his personality, the ability to have a personality, to think and to create and to love. Speak to him. He understands your pain. He doesn't want you to be like a robot. So don't go, I'm going to say this 5 times, I'm going to say this 20 times. Talk to him. Bear your heart out to him. Cry to him. Scream and plea. Whatever it is you could do. Conversate. Okay? So look what it says. Verse 8. Therefore, don't do that, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us today the daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom and power and glory forever and amen. Now you may be saying, well, wait a minute. You just said don't say repetition. Jesus is not saying say this over and over again. This is a model for prayer. And so here's what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. One, what is the model for prayer? What does this mean? We're going to talk about that. It's really a structure. For example, it says, "Dear Father, hallowed be thy name." Before when you start your prayer, just tell God how holy he is. That's what that means. Tell God your sin. Pray for other people. Pray for yourself. Tell God how awesome he is. That's what that means. Don't just say this over and over again. It doesn't mean you shouldn't say this prayer. I'm not saying that, but don't think if I say this 100 times, that all that means is you said it 100 times, you may memorize it, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but you still haven't told God what you need. You still haven't told God what you think about him. You just read something. So you still haven't shared your heart with him. You haven't made a request other than what that says. But, you know, when it says, God, don't lead me to temptation, tell God, keep me away from the bottle. Keep me away from the guys or that girl or pornography or drugs. Be specific. Be specific. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to talk about how you get your prayers hindered. All you guys in here, let me give you a hint. How many of you guys in here are married, by the way? Okay, how many of you guys, okay, very good. How many of you guys in here want to eventually be married? Okay, very good. Let me tell you what the Bible says about not getting your prayers answered. How many of you guys don't want to be married? Anybody? Okay. You already did that, huh? Yeah, okay. That's another topic. Let me tell you how you can get your prayers hindered. Don't treat your wife right. All ladies in the house, say, hey. If you don't treat your wife right and you go to God with your prayers, God's going to say, you need to deal with that issue. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks. We're going to talk about the fact that God wants to answer your prayer. How many of y'all were crying when you saw the little girl dancing? Did I ask you that already? No? How many of y'all were crying when you saw that? You ladies, I know your ladies were crying. As soon as she came out here, oh, this is so cute. Why? Because there's just something about a guy saving a girl, something about guys and girls, there's something about guys and daughters, dads and daughters, and God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. He has bubbles up there with your name on it. And the blessings that God has with your name on it, I could never get them. I don't need yours and you don't need mine. There's plenty to go around. And he's waiting for you to ask and to be prepared to receive. He wants to bless you. So when you get on your knees and pray, God wants to and talk to you. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about praying in Jesus' name, what it means and what it doesn't mean. Praying in Jesus' name does not mean you can say anything and just tag Jesus' name on the end in Jesus' name and he'll give it to you. Dear God, hook me up with a big house, 5 fine women, and 4 cars. In Jesus' name. Oh, there you go. Hey, what was I thinking? Hey, I'm God. Okay, here you go. It doesn't mean that way, okay? It doesn't mean that at all. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the possible answers. It's not just yes or no. I'm talking about the possible answers. We're going to talk about that, okay? But the first thing we're going to look at is, in your notes, number one, prayer is faith-based communication. faith-based communication. When you write that, turn to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. Communication is defined as the exchange of ideas or information. Everyone say exchange. That means it's two-way. How many of y'all have a person that you know that can talk constantly, nonstop, when they exhale and when they inhale? They're like an accordion. It's like, and you just sit there and like bullets, like in Scarface. And then they go, it was nice talking to you, and they leave. Anybody? Okay. That is not communication. Communication is two-way. Okay? Prayer is two-way. You throw bubbles up, and bubbles come down. And the bubbles that come down are a whole lot more better than the bubbles that go up. I'm not saying your bubbles aren't good. It's just that God's, God's name is Bob, okay? Is that God's bubbles are better than your bubbles. What God has to say to you is a whole lot more important and definitive than what you have to say to him. Do you believe that? And what he has to say to you is a whole lot more important than what you have to say to him. Do you believe that? And what he has in his bubbles is a whole lot more better than what you have in your bubbles. Can I get an amen? Yeah. We send up junk. Not all the time, but we send up gossip, complaints, you know, lies, whining. And sometimes we send up good stuff, but a lot of times we send up junk. And by the way, he wants your junk. God, here's my lust. Here's my pride. Here's my envy, here's my jealousy, here's my anger. He wants that. So we send up these nasty bubbles that he loves to take, and then he sends down really good bubbles. Are you following me? Communication. Everyone say communication. Look what it says in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. It says, another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God in the angel's hand. That's the bomb. Angel, I don't know how fast they fly, but let's just guess they fly at the speed of light. Vroom, with your prayers. Immediately, God hears them. And he's sitting on his throne. How many of y'all remember the little stick, the stick incense? Mm-hmm. See all the pot smokers? Just put it inside the room. Busted. Got the little towel at the bottom of the door. I'm trying to keep it real, Next time you go to whatever that store is where they sell them, how does he know? I did the same thing. Okay, that's how I know. Way back, long time ago. But anyway, here's God in his throne, and this angel has this incense, and they're your prayers. And God loves to see your, he loves to receive your prayers. He's receiving it. And here's what is being communicated to him when you pray. One, you acknowledge that you believe he's there. Two, you acknowledge that he can do for you what you can't do for you. You also tell him you trust him. You also tell him you know you can't do it. Prayer is the way your faith reaches out to God. That's what prayer is. Your faith is reaching out to God saying, please, help me. So when he's sitting there, he's understanding all of that about your heart. You are in a place of need, and you are acknowledging that God can, that you believe at some degree that God can answer your need. But here's the trick. As he receives it, he's a loving, passionate God saying, I want to respond. We don't listen for that part. We just throw it up there and go, okay, whatever. Write down Psalm 27:14. Write down Psalm 27:14. Psalm, P-S-A-L-M, 27:27.14. It says, let me just read it to you. Wait, everyone say wait. Wait. The Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, say wait. Wait. I say on the Lord. What does that mean? That means wait. It means like this. And you should always pray with a pen in your hand and put the pen on the paper. Take the cap off and put the ink part right on the paper or a pencil or whatever you use to put on the paper and say, I'm going to wait. When I first got saved, this guy told me, whenever you pray, go in your closet and you don't stop praying until you hear God speak to you. And the first time I did it, I was scared because I thought James Earl Jones was going to go, Miles. And I remember in the room doing like this, praying like this. Where's the voice going to come from? Because I didn't know what the voice was, what it was going to sound like. It's a small, still voice. And so my encouragement to you is that if you pray, however long you run your mouth, which is not a good, bad thing, I'm just saying, but however long you, dear God, please God, dear God, dear God, spend some time saying nothing and waiting for the bubbles. Don't say it, and leave. Because he's receiving, he's enjoying listening to you. But he wants to talk back to you. And remember, what he has to say to you is more important than what you have to say to him. So you just gave him all the stuff, and he's like, and then you're gone. Write down Genesis chapter 32. Write down Genesis 32. You can read the chapter on your own. In this story, Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Everyone say Abraham. Abraham. What was his son? What was his son? Say Abraham. Abraham. Say Isaac. Say Jacob. Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to what? Israel. Very good. And when it was changed to Israel, is when he wrestled with the angel all night. The Bible says he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And if you see angel of the Lord in the Old Testament with a capital A, that's Jesus. If you see Lord, Genesis 18, the Lord went up to Abraham because he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. That was Jesus. And Jesus didn't come on the scene when he was born to Mary. He's eternal. And so he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord all night. And all night he's wrestling with him, which is prayer, by the way. Wrestling with God. And he says to the angel, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And you know what the angel said? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Don't punk out. Fight me. Come on. I want to see how much you want it. And there's so many times in your life where you go, dear God, please help me, dear God. And God's like, I can help you. And you go, dear God, oh, he didn't help me in 5 minutes. God's a fraud. You only asked for 5 minutes. Think about this. Don't answer this question, but how persistent have you been in your life to hunt somebody down that you want to go out on a date with? Mm-hmm. Oh, you asked all your friends. You got their email, their phone number. You just sat around, fought them out all night. Oh, what if we can get together? Oh, we would have a family. Oh, it'd be this, it'd be that. Oh, my God. And you tell all your friends, and they ended up being a dud. Think about God. Dear God, please bless me. I know you're the God of heaven. You created the universe, but, you know, I got more important things to do. I got to go. So can you just bless me today real quick? And you know what God does? And this is hypothetical, is that sometimes he'll let you suffer. And you start praying, and he goes, you know what? You need about 3 weeks of this pain before you really learn or before you really change. So I hear you. I hear your prayer every day. I see what you're going through. But you know what? I know you can make it. I'm going to get you through. But it's going to require 3 weeks of what you're doing right now. Because you're hard-headed, because you're hard-hearted, because you haven't learned, you have a history of learning and going back. So this one's going to be a while. Because what God is most interested is not in dealing with your pain. God is not about making you happy or making us happy or making us feel good. That's not what he's in the business for. He's about making us holy. Everyone say holy. And the process of being holy and the condition of being holy is not always happy. Period. So he's more concerned about your holiness. And so when you're praying, he's like, Let's see how much you want it. Y'all remember the movie Tombstone? Okay, I love that movie. And at the end of the movie, Ringo, the bad guy, got shot by Doc Holliday. That brother was cool in that movie. I'll be a huckleberry. And he shot him. It's a movie, but he shot him. And Ringo was kind of all like this. And Doc Holliday was backing up going, come on. Y'all remember that? He's like, come on. Here's what God's saying, come on. You want it? Let's go. Come get it. Come get it. You want God to do something on your behalf? Go get it. Don't just go, dear God, just bless me, and you know, and just think it's no big deal. God's like, how much do you really want this? Jacob said, I ain't letting you go. And the angel said, that's exactly what I've been waiting for you to hear you say. I've been waiting for you to say that. And he says, I'm going to touch you in your hip, and you're going to walk with a limp for the rest of your life. The rest of his life, he walked like this. See, most people say he walked like this. Nah, he was cool. He just put a little, and what happened was, that was the sign that he was touched by God. Y'all missed that, right over your head. But the point is that God said, you will never forget the fact that we wrestled together, because you will limp for the rest of your life, and the rest of your life you're going to know that I'm the one who made you limp. I'm the one who made you limp. And if you are scarred from your pain and that pain and through that painful situation, God made you holy. God's lesson is very powerful. Number two, through prayer, God gives us information. Yeah, información is Spanish for information. Am I right? My girl, right? ¿Cómo se dice insight en español? Huh? Adentro, adentro, adentro. Insight, insight. Okay. Yes. Insight, insight. Huh? Intuition? Thank you very much. Through prayer, God gives us información, which is information, and insight. Here's what goes. You're praying, dear God, show me something, tell me something. God will give it to you. Turn to Jeremiah 33:3. Oh, like somewhere in the middle of the Bible is the book of Jeremiah. You just got to find it. Jeremiah 33:3. Jeremiah 33:3. You're praying, you need information, God will give you information. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, everyone say, call to me. And then it says, I will answer you, say, answer you, and say, tell you great and mighty things, which you do not know. Let's try to say that all at the same volume at the whole time. You'll say, call to me, and I will tell you great and mighty things. Say, call to me. Say, I will answer you. And tell you. Say, great and mighty things that you do not know. What is God saying? Something very simple. You want information? I can give you information. How many of you have one great and mighty thing that you really would like to know that will help you get through a problem right now? Ask God. God, you said right there you would tell me great and mighty things I don't know. Please, I have a situation. If you say you're vain repetition, you're not getting to what you need. Tell him exactly. Put it on the paper. God, I have this problem. Now, understand this. God's ways are not our ways, and he doesn't communicate. He's not going to do for you what you want your way. He's going to do for you what you need his way. That's different. So you may be saying, dear God, I got this stock. I don't know if I should sell or buy. Can you tell me, is it going to go up or down? And he might say to you, you should have never bought. You have to be ready for what he tells you, because what he, you may be asking him a yes or no answer question, and he may give you a completely different explanation of something different. Great and mighty things you don't know. But the point is, ask him. God, tell me. Give me wisdom. Whenever you have a conversation, Lord, give me wisdom about this person. Give me understanding. Matter of fact, write down Psalm 119. Write down Psalm 119, verse 169. Psalm 119, 169. I'll say it one more time. Psalm 119, what verse? It says, let me cry, let my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. He will give you understanding. What does that mean? Does that mean not only will he help you understand what the Bible says, but he will give you, he will help you understand how to make decisions about your life according to the Bible. Lord, I have this relationship with this person and something is not right with it, but I don't know what it is. Tell me, show me. And he'll tell you. He'll reveal it to you. He'll reveal it to you through a small, still voice speaking to you. He'll reveal it to you as you're reading the Bible. He'll reveal it to you through somebody else. He'll reveal it to you, and you'll come to church and hear a sermon or see someone else treating someone differently or the same way you're being treated, and he'll just reveal it to you somehow. But Lord, give me understanding. Open my mind that I may understand. Ask him that. So many times we simply say generically, dear God, bless me today. And God is like, can you be a little more specific? And the reason God wants you to be more specific is for you. Because you may be saying, dear God, bless me, and you may be thinking, I just want to be happy. Matter of fact, how many of y'all think, be honest, how many of y'all pray, God, bless me, and really all I mean is I want to be happy? Raise your, y'all not being honest this morning, tonight. Tonight. Yeah, I get mixed up. You want to say, God, I have a decision about this class or this school or this job or my career or this relationship or my money or my church or where I serve or what church I go to. I have this issue with this person or this television program or this music is bothering me or whatever it is. Be as specific as you can. Why? So you can know what you're talking about. So you're clear. So when he tells you yes, you know what he's saying yes or no to. And you are also being more honest with God. Because if you did something bad yesterday to someone, and you say, dear God, I feel bad what I did. If I was God, which I am not, and don't think I am, and I know you don't, but I just want to clarify, I would say to you, you feel bad about what? Well, I didn't treat so-and-so good. What did you do wrong? Well, you know God, why are you making me say it? I'm making you say it because I want you to know what you did, because you may not even realize what you did. I want you to admit it. I want you to confess it. I want you to really think, well, you know, I shouldn't have said what I said. No, what you did was you completely disregarded them as a person. And you were completely rude. And all you thought about was yourself. And you were selfish. That's what you did. And you crushed them. That's what you did. And you turned them against me. That's what you did. You need to know. Man, God, I want to kill myself. Stay with me, though. This is in the Bible, by the way. Elisha wanted to kill himself, and he said to God, God, kill me. Moses wanted God to kill him. Moses said, God, kill me. This really happened. And Elisha was so discouraged, he said, God, kill me. You know what God said? Kill you, and these are my words, but this is what he said. You're not only not going to die, you're going to go on a 40-day fast starting right now. That's what happened. When Elijah prayed and God burnt up 450 prophets of Baal and Jezebel, he killed 450 prophets. One guy called fire out of heaven. God killed 450 prophets. And then one woman said, I'm going to get you. It's Jezebel. And he ran from one woman. He just defeated 450 prophets and one woman. One. Everyone say one woman. She was more powerful than 450 men. Bing, 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 bing. Ah. That woman was powerful. And he ran from Jezebel and he went, "Dear God, Jezebel's after me. I want to die." This really happens. And God said, "Shut up." That's me talking now. That's me talking. He says, "You're going to go on a fast." That's true. In 1 Kings 9, he says, you're not going to eat for 40 days. You got this 7,000 people who aren't bowing to those idols. You're not by yourself. Stop complaining. Let's go. My point is this, is that when you realize your sin, God doesn't tell you your sin because you would be depressed. But he says to you, "Look, I love you. I'm going to get you through it. So let's go." So when you confess your sin, confess your sin. Say, "God, here's what I did. You know what? I was selfish. I was self-centered. I was egotistical. I did want to be noticed." And God says, "Thank you." He already knows. But if you don't admit it, you will do it again, and you will think that you fooled God and that he doesn't know that you did it. Tell him. Because if you tell him, then he can clean it out and heal you. So you want to tell him. Next one in your notes. Through prayer, God shapes your heart and character. You're on your knees praying, "Dear God, give me this, give me that." And God can give you information. He can give you insight. He can do stuff on your behalf and other people's lives and open up opportunities. God, give me a job and do all this. But there's another thing he does when you pray. There's another bubble that comes down that actually changes the way you think and changes the way you process information and changes the way you feel. Imagine if you have an anger problem, or you have a lust problem or a pride problem. Imagine if that desire could go away. Imagine that. How many of you know you have junk in your heart? Thank you. Imagine if you said, "God, I got junk in my heart," which he knows, by the way, and it's this. Can you remove it? You don't think he will? And imagine if he can remove that junk. And if you could say, "Lord, if you can remove this from my heart, I think this is how I would live." Imagine if you even knew that. Because sometimes we get so accustomed to our junk that we just live that way. And we try to hide it. It's called being phony. We are phony with ourselves, by the way. We look in the mirror and think we're okay when we really know we're not. And we say, "Yeah, I got my issues, but I'm really a good person." No, you're not. You're not. You got sin, and God needs to deal with your sin. Doesn't mean you're as wicked as you can be, but you have sin. And that sin is not acceptable. You need to say, "God, remove this junk from my heart." Look what it says. Turn to Psalms 51. Psalm 51, verse 10. Psalm 51, verse 10. Says, everyone say, "Create." It says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." Let me say it again. "Create in me a clean heart." Say, "Clean heart." Raise your hand real high if you know you got dirtiness in your heart. Yeah, you know what the Bible says? That the heart is wicked, desperately wicked, and deceitful. Who can know it? You know what that means? That our heart wants to be wicked. How many of y'all know your heart's like that? Less of you are raising your hand. Here's why. Because you don't want to believe it. The Bible says your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That means you don't even realize how wicked your heart is. Because your heart is telling you you're not that bad. How many have heard that voice before? Okay, you're not that bad. You're okay. Everybody does it. You never kill. You're not as bad as that guy, so it's okay. That is all the devil lying to you. And so the Bible says here, "Create in me a clean heart." God, clean my heart out. And God's going to say, "You sure? Clean my heart out. Oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit with me." God, I want you to give me a spirit that won't quit. I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Create me a clean heart. So when you pray and you're praying and you're saying, "God, give me information," what else God is doing is that God is changing your heart. He's changing your mind, we're going to see in a minute. He's changing your desires. Psalm 37:4 says, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. What that doesn't mean is that if I say, God, I love you, you'll give me whatever I want. What it does mean is that if you delight yourself in God, a bubble will come down with his desires that he will put in your heart. What that means is that God will change what you want. Some of y'all have a relationship with somebody that you know is not completely in line with the Word of God. It's like that. It's crooked. Whether it be financial, sexual, just deviousness, gossip. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But your relationship is like that when it comes to God. And if you said to God, God, I want you to give me a desire to make my relationship in line with you. Give me a desire to be holy. And all of a sudden, one day you may say, you know what? I feel like reading my Bible today. How many of you ever had that desire? I just want to read my Bible today. Okay, how many of you really did it? I just want to get up and pray. I want to be nice to somebody that I wasn't nice to yesterday. You know where those desires come from? Not you. We're sinners. That's God. God just I want to read my Bible. Remember how we said a few weeks ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit, he who's born again is like the wind. The Holy Spirit, you don't know where the wind comes from, you don't know where it goes. I think I wanna pray right now. I think I'm going to go to church 2 weeks in a row. Wow. I'm going to bring my Bible and a pen. I'm going to be able to say word for the first time. And I'm going to hold my Bible like this when I walk in. I think I'm going to say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some of y'all, believe me, it blesses me. Worship. Y'all just stand there. Now, someone standing there like this, fantastic, because last week they were like this. No, for real. And I see y'all standing up. That is a way of saying, I am honoring God, I'm worshiping. Fine. At some point, you're going to do this. Fine. At some point, you're going to sing loud. Fine. Whatever it is. But the point is that all of a sudden, you get freed up. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so God is changing your heart. Fantastic. Some of y'all used to smoke cigarettes every day. And now you smoke 5 times a week. You know what I'm talking about, right? No, in general. You know what I'm talking about. And you know what? That person who smokes 5 times a week, that used to smoke every day, great for them. Great for them. And then one day they're going to say, you know what? I don't want to smoke today. Great. And so my point is that God starts to change your heart. You want to ask him. Why is this important? You want to ask him to do that. God, change my heart. Don't just let it happen randomly and you think that it's you. It's random. No, you need to know that you can ask him, create in me a clean heart today, God. And when you're thinking evil things, prideful things, jealous things, envious things, when you want to gossip, when you think of lustful things, you can say, Lord, Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart. Right now, I need a clean heart. Right now, I got junk in my heart right now, and it's coming out. I clean it out. Bible says that the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. So whenever words come out of your mouth, that means whatever those words are, as those bad words, they're piled up all the way up to your throat. And the only ones that come out are the only ones you speak are the ones that come out. But there's more of it in here, all up in here, and all up in here, all backed up. There was a guy, a friend of mine, he was at my house eating food, and I said, do you want some more? He says, brother, he was so full. And he says, the only place I got room is in my mouth. He says, everything's full up to here. I only had that much left. So when you speak, that means that all that junk is just overflowing out of your mouth. And so if you speak one evil word, that means like a million didn't come out. Lord, clean out the million. Clean it out. Ask him. Turn to the sixth book, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the New Testament, Romans. The book of Romans. Romans 12. Romans 12. There was a man in the hospital. He was sick, and his daughter asked the pastor to go see him. And the pastor got to the hospital, and he was sitting there talking to an empty chair. Just talking. No one was sitting in the chair. And the pastor thought maybe he was kind of going crazy. And he says, you okay? He says, yeah, I'm praying. I'm just talking to Jesus. He's sitting right there. So the pastor went. A few days later, he died. And his head was laying in the chair. What you want to do is you want to lay your life into Jesus' arms. Here I am. Lord, I surrender myself to you. Look what it says in chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, according to the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Let me read it again. I beseech you, I beg you, I encourage you, therefore, my brothers, by the mercies of God, according to God's mercy in your life, that you present your body, a living sacrifice, living, functioning, talking, moving, able and willing. Are you following me? Not dead. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Holy means set aside for one purpose, acceptable to God. Give God your best, which is the only reasonable thing for you to do. And what this is saying, in the Old Testament, they would kill an animal, put on the fire, and the fire would consume the animal, and God would be pleased with the aroma. Now God is saying, I don't want you to be dead, and the fire that's going to consume you is the Holy Ghost. And I want you to be functioning. I want you to be able to speak for me. I want you to move for me. I want you to encourage for me. I want you to lift things and do things with your hands, your eyes, your ears, your voice. It functions. You're functioning. I want to use you. So present yourself usable to God. God, whatever you want me to do. I only want to say what pleases you. I only want to do what pleases you. I only want to look at what pleases you. And when you look at something you know you shouldn't look at, And when you give people something to look at that they shouldn't be looking at, you say, God, I don't want to look at that. Someone comes walking to you, you know you shouldn't have that conversation. Go the other way. This works. Feet work. Hands, give someone the Heisman. No. You don't want to listen. And if you sit there and you listen to gossip, you're guilty. If you sit there and you nod your head, I ain't say nothing, God. No, stop. I don't want to hear it. Stop my business. You're a living sacrifice. But look what it says next. Here's a verse we want to look at. It says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Dear God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I have a theory, an opinion. My opinion means what? Nothing. But sometimes it's pretty good. Like that. Sometimes. And I think this is one of them. You have good opinions too. You too. Here's my opinion. That sometimes when we pray, we say, dear God, that God says, and if I'm wrong, my bad, if they would let me change the way they think, they wouldn't ask that question. So sometimes we ask God, these questions that if our heart was different, we wouldn't ask the question. Dear God, is it okay if I say curse words? It's not really about you saying curse words. It's about me cleaning out your heart so the curse word's not in there in the first place. Dear God, I need a really fine woman. I need a babe. No, what you need to do, what you need to be praying is that you will become a godly man, and then you'll have so many babes lined up for wanting to be with you. Well, hold on. You know what I'm saying? Hey. But here's the dilemma. Is that now you got all these fine babes, but because you're a godly man, you can only date one of them. So you have to have, so if you pray, you will have options, but you will have the discipline to pick one. So the point is that if you present your body a living sacrifice, I will renew your mind and you'll ask different questions. And so we ask the questions because we don't have the mind of God. And we're trying to, God, how much sin can I commit without you sending me to hell? Which is basically what a lot of our questions, our prayers are centered around. How much can I get away with? And God's like, if you really love me, you wouldn't be asking me that question. It's like getting married, and the day after you get married, or the day before you get married, you say, look, honey, I know we're getting married tomorrow, but I just need to know one thing. How many times can I cheat on you before you divorce me? That guy is not getting married. People get saved that way. Dear God, please forgive me my sin. Okay, now how much sin can I get away before I go to hell? That guy never got saved. That's not salvation. That's just trying to have your cake and eat it too. That's not salvation. So what he's saying here is present your body a living sacrifice. I want you to lay your life down at my feet and let me mold and shape your mind and your heart. And when you start thinking like me, you'll ask different questions. And by the way, when you ask the questions that I want and when you ask the prayers I want, all of those prayers you'll get. Next one in your notes. Through prayer, God expresses his and gives us power. Power. One of those bubbles that comes down, it's got power in it. Power is the ability, authority, and freedom to do. Everyone say to do. Power is the ability, the authority, and the freedom to do, to act, to get something done. God wants to give you power. When I turn to James, you're in Romans, turn to James about 10 books to the back. James chapter 5. Chapter 5, when Moses stood before the Red Sea and he held the staff up, God parted the Red Sea, gave him power. When Daniel got thrown in the lion's den, he prayed, God shut the lion's mouth. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in the fire, God protected them from the fire. Power. We all need power to do what we need to do, for God to act on our behalf in ways that not even man can do. What God can do, man can't do ever. Ever. You and I have power available to us that created the heavens and the earth. And it breaks God's heart to see us not use it to accomplish his goal. It's like being a filthy rich person and you're living like a bum and you have money. You just don't use it. God has given you power. Look what it says in verse 16, the last sentence of James chapter 5. James 5, 16, the last sentence. It says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much or does much work. Now, there's few key words, righteous. Fervent, consistent, hardworking prayer can do much work. And then it says, next verse, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Everyone say, nature like ours. Say, he was just like me. Why is that in the Bible? Because what God's getting ready to tell you happened to a guy just like you. Look what it says. He prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. What? Read it again. It says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3.5 years. That just couldn't happen again. That's why it'll never happen with you. Because you don't believe. Here's what God's looking for. There's no question God has power. No question. There's no question that he loves you. There's no question he's telling us to pray. There's no question he's going to put you in positions where you need his power. So he's going to put you in a corner where you either self-destruct or you trust him. And so he's got the power. He wants to do something in your life. All y'all. And the Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth looking to show himself strong on behalf of someone who will trust him. So he has power to make you strong. And he's looking for someone who just trusts him. It's really that simple. And you have to decide, do you want to be that person? Just say, I want to be a person that trusts God. If you mean it, then do it. Get on your knees all the time, throughout the day, riding, talking, walking, whatever. God, clean my heart. God, give me your desires. God, do something incredible through me. And what God will do is he will start to work on your heart. And if you notice that hard times come, it's because he is shaping you. Moses was 80 years old when he started his ministry. 80. 40 years, he got educated. And 40 years, he got his heart tenderized. And at 80, God said, now you're ready. And then he had 40 more years of ministry. And then he died. And God took him. That's the bomb. I was in the hospital the other day, 3 or 4 days ago, with a young lady who is going to die any day. And she said, I want to go be with God. Can you help me? Can you pray for me? I said, I can't pray that God kills you. But I can pray that he ends your pain and takes you to heaven. She's ready to go. Why was she? She's going to miss her kids. She's worried about her two little kids. But other than that, heaven is going to be the end of her pain, and she's going to be with God. When you have Jesus in your life, this earth is hell. When you don't have Jesus in your life, earth is heaven. This is the best you're going to have it. No matter what you've been through, you could have come in here cursing God, cursing this church, cursing me, whatever. We don't want you to go to hell. We don't want you to go to hell. Nobody. And what you need to do is say, God, I'm surrendering my junk to you, all my sin. I don't even know it. It's so much. Just please take it, because I believe you died and rose from the dead for me. And God will send down salvation if you believe. But there's also some of you in here, you have discouragement, you have depression, you have addiction, you have lust problems, pride problems, ego problems, whatever. God, clean my heart. Take it. It's just killing me. And by the way, it's killing you. You know it. It's you. It's the devil lying to you, your friends, whatever, but it ultimately comes down to you. God, take it. I'm laying my life down as a living sacrifice. Please take it. And you know what God does? He's like, do you really mean it? Because he wants to do that. If God wanted to hurt you, he would have killed you a long time ago. What do you think he's still here for? He doesn't need your permission to punish you. He doesn't need your permission to kill you. The fact that you're alive and still have an opportunity to say you're sorry as much as you curse to me shows that he loves you. So take this opportunity, because you might not come next week. You might not be here. Something may happen. Who knows? Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Lord, you know everybody in this room so well. You know everything more about them than they know about themselves. You know the deep, dark secrets that they never say even to you. And you love them. You know the perverse things they do and think. And you love them. You want to remove those things from their life, but you love them so much. They have misunderstood you. They've listened to lies about you. But right now, for this moment, they believe that you love them. If you want to receive God's love today in the form of salvation or encouragement or a new start, pray this prayer with me. Pray, dear God, I want to love you. I want to really know you. I want to be used by you. I want every bubble you have for me. I believe you love me because your son Jesus died for me. I believe you have power because you rose from the dead. So please forgive me. Please, God, forgive me for trying to do it on my own. Please grant me freedom from my sin, salvation, encouragement, liberation. I want to be a living sacrifice, holy unto you. I surrender myself to you. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up. By standing up, you are acknowledging that you have surrendered to God, whatever you surrendered, and you are receiving from Him His answer to you, salvation, encouragement, a new start. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, just stand to your feet and acknowledge. God bless you. Very good. Stay standing. God bless you. 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 God bless you.